Indeed it does, and what a great first hour it was, and you were a major part of it. Thank you so much for that. Keep those texts coming, though. 44-11-40. All of a sudden, I'm taking a beating for not seeing Hoosiers. We've said that 1,000 times. I have not seen Hoosiers.
It's still painful every
time.
And
now I'm just not going to watch it, because now it's just a matter of pride.
I think it's pretty overrated.
I can't tell if you're being serious.
I'm being serious.
Okay. Oh, Jason.
That's more egregious than not seeing it, to call it overrated.
You guys can't see the look on Jason HW's face, but yikes.
No, Mighty Ducks.
Ugh.
Personally, I think Mighty Ducks 3 is better than Hoosiers.
Now you're just being a jerk.
I haven't heard anything he said.
You're just being a jerk. That is Chris Verlott, our producer extraordinaire, who likes to get on everybody's nerves. Jason Ross, I'm Damian Barling, hour number 2 of the Lowdown. The opinion is split on football and violence in football, and I understand that, and we understood that coming in. Regardless of your opinion, if you missed any part of that first hour, I can't suggest enough whether you download the KHDK app. There's a great on-demand section there. You can go back and listen to the show at your leisure, at your convenience. You can listen to the parts you want to. Skip past me. Just get to Jason. Whatever you want to do, you could do that on the KHDK app. You can also subscribe to the Lowdown podcast on iTunes or whatever your favorite podcast platform was. But I really enjoyed that first hour. I enjoyed hearing everybody's different opinions. And it's just going to be like this moving forward with the NFL. I think the biggest issue – I have a lot of issues in case – I have like a subscription full of issues here. But the NFL Disciplinary Committee is a major problem.
Which we didn't even tackle on that because it became about this other stuff. But that really is probably the bigger issue.
The fact that all three of those guys, including Gronk and now Juju and George Iloka, now that they're – they all got the same suspension. It's just what do we do, guys? One, well, you know what? For the guys that were kind of phony fighting, let's give them two. They'll appeal down to one. We'll just give these guys one. We'll appeal.
So they're all the same.
But we'll say no. We'll say no.
We're tough.
We're tough. We're tough on crime.
Yeah, safety.
We're tough on crime and borders here, or something like that. That's
a thing.
That's the argument they can use.
Yeah. So all penalties were the same. In the end,
it's ridiculous. Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous. Gronk is appealing his suspension, saying he. What is his appeal? If you're Gronk's lawyer,
yeah, why do you apologize?
Or you're his player's rep. What are you saying?
Right, he didn't do it. Like, we saw it.
He didn't mean to.
Yeah, he tripped.
He was mad.
Yeah,
he's Gronk. It's okay.
Yeah,
this is what he does.
Well, he can't miss this game. It's a big game.
Gosh Almighty!
Yeah, just take the penalty.
He's not even missing the Steelers game, right? That's not this week.
No.
That's week 15.
Yeah,
week 14, by the way, is
awesome.
There's
some good ones.
Holy crap! We took a peek at week 14. We'll run over that with you. It is another fantastic week. At least on paper, it's a fantastic week. We'll run that down around 2:30 or so. We will give you our winners and losers of week 13 at the top of the 2 o'clock hour, along with. Tickets to see WWE Live, The Road to WrestleMania, February 10th at the Golden One Center. All of that coming at the very, very top of the 2 o'clock hour. One small thought on the way on the entire National Football Conference. But, Jason, we got to talk about the Sacramento Kings. Do want to mention, if you didn't hear us joking about it a few minutes ago, I know sometimes it's hard to differentiate what we're joking about and what we're serious about. Florida State does have their new head coach. It is Willie Taggart, the former coach. He just was the coach of the Oregon Ducks. So now, lather, rinse, repeat. The cycle starts over again. Oregon's looking for a coach, and that's a pretty good job there.
Yeah.
Got a great relationship with Phil Knight. Chip Kelly is taken currently by the UCLA Bruins. I don't know if there's a buyout. I don't know how quickly Chip Kelly can get out of his deal to get back to Oregon. Of course, I'm making all of this up, but Oregon is looking for their head coach. Florida State has their guy. And that is Willie Taggart.
I thought what was interesting, too, is Chris Landry, who's a regular with Grant and Doug, tweeted, Mark Richt, who was hired by Miami 2 years ago, is now the longest tenured head coach among the 7 FBS teams in the state of Florida.
Wait, do that again?
Mark Richt, hired two seasons ago, basically, is now two years into the University of Miami, is the longest tenured head coach among the 7 FBS teams in the state of Florida. Right, because it's Charlie Strong.
I was going to say, is he tied with Lane?
Florida.
Or has Lane only been there a year?
One, yeah.
Lane, by the way, is winning.
Yeah.
He's winning.
He's having fun.
He is. He
Bring
lives
on
in,
Alabama.
He lives in Boca.
Yeah.
Of course he's having fun. Right. He's fantastic. He's trolling himself on Twitter. Had to get Lane Kiffin somewhere somehow. Yep. Can't just let him have fun at Florida. Got to send Florida Atlantic. Is it Florida Atlantic?
Florida
International?
Coastal. Where is he?
Florida International. It's not. I think it's Florida Atlantic. Florida Coastal. I feel like there's a coastal somewhere.
There's a Gulf Coast, but I think that's basketball. I don't know.
Who cares?
He's somewhere in Florida.
Let's send
Florida
Lane.
Atlantic.
Florida Atlantic. Okay. All right. Florida Atlantic Coastal. What coast is Lane on? Right. Keys.
Panhandle. Gator.
Kings.
Yes.
So here's what we know. Willie Cauley-Stein's not on the road trip. He's dealing with his back issue.
Yes. Doesn't sound like it's serious, but they just didn't fly him to. He probably wasn't going to play tomorrow, so was he going to play Friday? Who knows? But he should be hopefully good to go later in the week when they return home.
Scalabissiere isn't on the road trip either.
No, all of
a
sudden.
He's hanging out in Reno?
Yeah, sent to the G League. And Papayannis has been sent back.
Just going to let the silence sit in there for a minute.
So Scal, who was starting. Had been starting. Didn't play a ton of minutes, but had been starting. Willie, the curiosity of this is Willie being out because I feel like there's minutes now for Scal. And we say, when you're going to the G League, though it can be perceived as a demotion, I don't want people to think it that way. I think you're going to the G League to play. Well, Damien, I think there's a window to play for Scal right now.
Yeah.
With Willie being hurt.
So I just want to be clear. You don't think going to the G League is a demotion?
People think it is, but the reason you're trying to get minutes and reps, but I guess by definition it is.
We might have missed the opportunity because I don't feel like this is a question you just randomly throw out. That would have been a great question for Garrett because when we brought up the G League with him last week, he kind of chuckled and said, yeah, I'm familiar with
it. Yeah, he knows. But he said, I guess in the question to him was, what's the best way to develop? He says to play. So, but again, I get that. If Willie and everybody is healthy and Scal's getting minimal minutes, I think it makes sense. But I think the window has just been open for Scal to get a few more minutes with Willie being gone. So the move is a little bit curious to me.
I feel like they're I don't know. Fish or cut bait with Yorgos Papayannis? I know he's under contract for another year, but with Scal, you have moments, right?
Right.
And I'm using Scal as an example because he was the one sent down. Can you point to something Papayannis has done in a Sacramento Kings uniform, a Sacramento Kings uniform, not a Reno Bighorns uniform, a Sacramento Kings uniform, and go, ha, 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 that.
Yeah.
That's right there, that guy.
Not much. I know he had a double-double last year at OKC, but I think I honestly believe if they committed minutes to him, he would get them production. I just don't see where they're going to do that.
Can I ask why you believe that?
Because he has gotten better as far as his physical skill. I just feel like he's in a time frame where a guy that plays like him isn't utilized that much. Mm-hmm. Now, if he were a dominant big man on the block, I think it would be different. He's not that for sure. But I think if you gave him 20 minutes a night, I think he would get close to 10 rebounds. And maybe in those 10 rebounds, he'd get
really?
I do. I really do. And I think he might get close to 10 points. Now, I don't know if the team's any better just because I'm just talking about stats. I honestly think he would.
With Willie out, he's. Do you think that he's approaching that? I mean, Scal's gone.
Right.
Willie's out.
I think they're going to play probably a lot of Zeebo, maybe even Jack Cooley ahead of him. Who
I was going to say, are we going Costa Kufis heavy?
Maybe. Maybe play small. Who knows? Well, hey, Friday, you may not be able to play small if it's Anthony Davis back and Cousins. But tomorrow, Cleveland for the Linear Championship.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the game plan will be there. They don't always play that many bigs.
Yeah.
It's not guarding LeBron.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
Well, okay, now that you mentioned his name, now I'm curious where, like, Jack Cooley fits in this.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's been on the roster for, like, a week now or whatever it is. All right.
Yeah, I don't have full understanding of all this, but we'll see. Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, there's your latest update on the Sacramento Kings. We'll talk more about them. By the way, at 2:45, as Jason mentioned, the Cavs won their 12th straight. That means tomorrow night's game will be for the Lowdown Linear Championship of the world.
Second time it's happened to the Kings. They didn't do so well the first time. Actually, they played okay against Houston for their only other opportunity playing for the championship, Linear Championship.
They did. That was the first game, first night of the season.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into one small thought.
Okay.
Like I said, we'll talk more about the Sacramento Kings in 2:45 or so, a little over an hour.
Yeah.
We'll do that before we get out of here and get ready for that big linear championship. We'll try to plan the parade route just in case something goes our way and all of that good stuff. One small thought, the NFC.
Would you like?
Sure, lead us off.
Let's go with, how about them Cowboys?
Hey, how about them Cowboys?
The NFC East is where I'm going to start. I've got the East this week. Dallas Cowboys, the reinforcements are coming, but it may be too late. That's my one small thought for them. Sean Lee is scheduled to return this week for the Cowboys defense. That really will help a lot. We talk about missing Zeke. They've had some linemen out. They've had different things, but getting Sean Lee back will help them. The Cowboys also get a Giants team that may have just finished off their crazy. I think they just finished the craziness part of everything. 2 more weeks to wait for Zeke, but the Cowboys did return to their run routes last Thursday when they got their much-needed win on the legs of Alfred Morris. Playoff hopes are super, super slim, but technically they're still in it, and I know you were happy that they ran the ball last week, and honestly, it was the right recipe.
Raise your hand if you quietly expect the Giants to beat the Cowboys this weekend.
Yours is up?
Mine is
up. Yeah, mine's not, but I'm thinking about it. I don't think you're crazy for that. Yeah. I think that, like I said,
coach is gone.
Yeah, the Giants finished their crazy. It's done.
Right.
And they're not great, but they got that cloud is gone.
Do you know how hard it is to finish crazy?
It is hard.
Oh, man, that is difficult.
I'm still working on it.
What's the linear championship? We get that a lot.
I love that.
We'll explain. We need to make this a thing just as we made mid. This is a big day, guy. Like,
it
come
is.
On.
Tomorrow is a huge day.
It's a huge day for the city. Like, some.
You don't get many opportunities.
Sometimes you get one shot. Some days are bigger than basketball.
Yes.
And the entire city, like, this is
one of them.
This is a moment for the city.
Yeah.
There's no question
about that.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of thinking about it.
Savor it.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what the linear championship is, you're not alone. We'll explain it in a bit.
I'll move on to the crazy, the New York Giants. One small thought. The new streak is one.
Oh, I hate that. Isn't that so unfair?
Isn't that terrible? Come
on. Come on.
Yeah.
Ben McAdoo was the coach. Just let it. Can we take it back? Yeah.
The drama is over. At least we feel so. Many changes still to come for the Big Blue, but they have made it through the worst of times. Everyone could see the mess, but those right in the eye of the storm. McAdoo and Reese are gone, and it looks like, of all things, Eli will be back. John Mara, the owner of the Giants, says he's to blame, too, because he could have vetoed this whole decision that were made last week. You're right. You are to blame. Problem is, owners usually keep their jobs, so that's fine. You are part of this. What's most intriguing is the situation now with Eli. Last week he was done in New York. Now I'm not so sure. He will be coveted by a few other teams, but the curiosity is, will he still be coveted by the team that he's currently playing for? And I just don't know if the Giants' philosophy completely changes on him, if that was a McAdoo/Reese thing, but just a weird, weird stretch, and now the streak is at one. Next up, the Philadelphia Eagles. One small thought.
It's only going to take 12 years to match.
That's all. Just keep playing, Eli. 9-game streak ends, but the goals are still intact. That's the one small thought for Philadelphia. They lost Sunday, but to me, the story really was about the opponent. Opinions haven't changed much on this Philly team. Just more impressed by Seattle, to me, in that game. Philly is still so close to becoming the 22nd team in the last 14 seasons to go from worst to first in their division. They're just about to do it. And this trend isn't that unique to the NFL, but it still is impressive. And the Eagles this week get another strong test in the NFC. As another strong contender, they go to the road to take on the Rams.
One trend that will continue, Jason, is you cannot repeat as
in that division.
East Division champions.
Why is that?
It's not. It's in the Bible, science. I think. Or science, that's what it is. I think it's the only thing in the world that's science and in the Bible.
Then it's really true.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It does
the law.
Not. It's the law.
Yeah.
It's in the Constitution.
Yeah.
Bible, science, Constitution.
Yeah.
You do not repeat as the NFC East champion.
So next year, it's the Redskins' turn, probably?
Although I'm not sure what the Constitution means anymore.
It's just not the Eagles.
It's not the Eagles.
Yeah.
Hell, it's going to be the Giants.
Yeah,
let's
maybe
be
it's
honest.
Their turn.
It's going to
yeah.
be the Giants at this
worst
rate.
Worst of first again.
There you go.
Washington, one small thought
Eli
on them.
Manning.
In the end, schedule and injuries did in Washington. Mm-hmm. Too many key players have been out or not 100% for Jay Gruden. This team has been banged up and battled, but just hasn't had enough firepower to handle all of the teams they've had to play. And if you look at that schedule, they have played all of the NFC division leaders, the Saints, the Rams, the Vikings, Eagles twice, also playoff hopefuls with Seattle, the Raiders, the Chiefs, and now the Chargers. I mean, their schedule has been killer. The next issue, though, with Washington at this point, Damian, will be what's going to end up happening with Kirk Cousins. I mean, he's going to play out this year. But is that it? And what, where will the dominoes fall kind of following Kirk Cousins? So there's your one small thought on the NFC East.
Let's go to the NFC South, and we'll start with your New Orleans Saints. The Panthers entered the game this past week with the third-ranked run defense. The Saints didn't care. They still ran for 200, or their running back still combined for 248 yards from scrimmage and three touchdowns. Here's something incredibly impressive. The New Orleans rank, New Orleans Saints rank number three in terms of the highest-ranking rushing teams in the NFL. That alone is shocking. But New Orleans is sitting just behind. They're sitting 9 yards behind Philadelphia and about 80 yards behind Jacksonville. Okay, cool. Follow this, Jay Ross. Jacksonville, 398 rushing attempts. Philadelphia, 375 rushing attempts. The New Orleans Saints, just 344. 5.0 is the amount of yards that they average per attempt. That is more than any other team in the NFL. Alvin Kamara, he averages 7 yards per carry, highest in the NFL. Ingram averages 5.1 yards per carry. Only Deion Lewis averages more for running backs who have at least 100 attempts. Suddenly, the Saints are a freaking run team.
Hmm.
The Falcons, by the way, it's the Falcons and the Saints here in Atlanta, Thursday Night Football on Sports 1140. But a loss to the Saints would be absolutely devastating for the Falcons, who trail both the Panthers and the Seahawks in a race for the wild card. Alabama, they keep getting into big holes offensively. They're just 1 of 10 on third down, and it's glaring because they kept going. They'd be like 3rd and 10, or they'd pick up penalty. It'd be 3rd and 12. It was 3rd and long all day long against against Minnesota. Excuse me, Minnesota held Matt Ryan to just 173 yards passing, his lowest output since 2013, and they locked Julio Jones down. Julio Jones, 2 weeks ago, 253 yards.
Yep.
Sunday, 24.
Woo.
And they're playing two of the hottest teams and best defenses in back-to-back weeks. Brutal, brutal schedule for the Atlanta Falcons. The Panthers, they need to make a statement. And, hey, so far, do you remember that the Panthers beat the Patriots?
Forgot.
Way back in week 4.
Hmm.
33. They scored 33 points. That's shocking in itself. They scored 33 points, 33-30. They beat the Patriots before the Patriots fixed their defense.
Yeah, they haven't lost since.
There you go. They lost to Philly. They lost to New Orleans. This week, we told you there was a high caliber schedule this week. They got Minnesota.
Mm.
Ron Rivera called their tackling bad. And when you go back and watch clips of that game, bad doesn't begin to describe it. And their schedule moving forward, the Panthers have 3 straight games at home, so that's good, against Minnesota, which is going to be their toughest one. Then they have Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers will probably be back for that game. Then they have Tampa Bay, and they're going to close out with Atlanta in Atlanta. The Bucks.
Ken still might be listening. Be careful.
Okay, let's get this out of the way. Ken, I apologize in advance. You stink. Your offensive,
not Ken, but the Buccaneers.
No. Ken doesn't stink.
Yeah.
His Tampa Bay Buccaneers stink. And their offensive line is down 2 starters. So they get a pass, but the fact is they still stink. They had 2 goal line fumbles, and Jameis Winston blamed his fumble on running into someone's butt.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said. I think I ran into someone's butt, which sounds an awful lot like a butt fumble. But the good news is they may have found their running back of the future, if there is a such thing. And that's Peyton Barber, who in his first significant minutes, his first chance to get significant touches, took his 23 carries and made 102 yards out of it. He is the first back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to go for 100 yards this season. I'm guessing Doug Martin's career in Tampa Bay is likely over now with the emergence of Peyton Barber.
Yeah. This is on the fly programming. I'm looking at my list. I said, oh, I have audio. I got to get this audio. Do you happen to have, when I get to Green Bay, the Dean Lowry touchdown?
Dean Lowry.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm gonna see if we can buy for time.
Lowry.
NFC North. Lowry.
I'm Mike Lowry.
Chicago Bears. John Fox makes history this past weekend, just not the kind that he wanted to. The Bears have a long history of football. They have good, they have bad, and they have ugly. John Fox added to the last two categories. Fox is now 12-32, and he moved past Abe Gibron.
That's not a real name.
I know, it's made up, but he's 11-30-1 for sole possession of the worst winning percentage in franchise history.
Yikes.
And he still has four games left to play in 2017. Fox has one fewer win than his predecessor, Mark Trestman, who went 13-19, who lasted only two seasons. So Fox is closing in on completing his third and likely final season with the Bears. To make matters worse for the Bears on Sunday, it was ex-Bear Robbie Gould who returned to beat them, hit all five field goals, including the game winner. So the Bears just keep on being the Bears. Detroit Lions, one small thought on them. The Lions are doing the job that the construction guys couldn't do at the Silverdome. See that the other day when they tried to implode it on the inside?
That's the home of WrestleMania 3, brother. You can't tear down the Silverdome. There were 100,000 people there to watch Hulk Hogan body slam 700-pound Andre the Giant.
How'd he do?
He did fine.
Okay.
He won.
Yeah?
Shocker to everybody.
Well, they're still talking about that.
Brother. And it gets bigger every time you hear him talk about it.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, Matthew Stafford was trying to do his Hulk Hogan impression. No, I don't know. This last Sunday's game, but he did have that hand injury. He was out, left that game. He is hopeful to be back this week. Detroit is now down to 500. And the playoff team seems to be very difficult. This opportunity now for them just seems to be difficult. Now, I had a story last week about Mother Knows Best.
Mm-hmm.
Another one this week. From running back Teon Green's mother came to surprise her son, who had not played yet this season at all for Detroit. He was active and then got a chance to play. He got in the game. His mom said he would score. He was right. He had a team-high 11 carries and 51 yards in his first NFL touchdown, and mom was there to see it.
Nice.
Moms know best.
Nice.
Green Bay, how are we doing on our...
I got you.
All right, Green Bay Packers, the list of people that have done the Lambeau leap has some unexpected company.
Play action, Winston back to throw, pump fakes once, now he's hit, and he gives up the football, and it's taken on the play, down the left sideline, it is Dean Lowry, and it's American Pharoah at the Belmont, no one will catch him, touchdown Green Bay, 61 yards for the defensive end from Northwestern. Oh, my goodness. I don't believe it.
I just envisioned him yelling, I'm coming! I'm coming!
And the whole crowd just got out of the way. But awesome moment for him. And like you said earlier, Damien, they're about 2 weeks away from the return of Aaron Rodgers. They're likely out, but I don't know. Could you imagine if they're still in the race and Rodgers comes back, and if they got in, who wants to play Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers healthy?
No one.
And the last with the Minnesota Vikings, they're now technically the one seed and still overlooked.
Yep.
By tiebreaker, they caught Philly. This is a good thing, though, for the Vikings because many people haven't been taking them seriously. But they have turned back the Falcons, the Lions, the Rams, and the Redskins over the last 4 weeks, with three of those coming on the road. They have allowed the fewest points in the NFC and still get strong quarterback play each and every week from the suddenly consistent Case Keenum.
We got the NFC West and your San Francisco 49ers next. All right, let's wrap up here. One small thought. I do want to mention, Jason, we're talking about the NFC today. We'll talk about the AFC tomorrow. There's an update, but not really an update, on Steelers linebacker Ryan Scherzer. He's showing promising signs. Everyone kind of feels positive about the situation. I don't know that that's really an update. But he is in Cincinnati, and he's going to be there for the next 24 to 48 hours before he can return to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, because the last thing I thought I heard about Shazier was there was hope that he was going to leave Cincinnati and go back to Pittsburgh to start the recovery. So no, keeping him there, interesting.
He's not leaving today. So, again, it's an update, but not really.
Yeah.
Just wanted to pass that along to you. One small thought as we wrap up here. The NFC West. And the Los Angeles Rams, the last time the Los Angeles Rams had a winning season was 2003. Mm. Last time they made the playoffs, they must have been, I had to look this up. I couldn't put this together. They were 500. It was in 2004. In the last 10 years, the Rams finish 32nd, 29th, 21st, 21st, 25th, 32nd, 26th, 32nd.
That's bad.
30th and 28th in points scored. This year, they're behind only Philadelphia and New England. And in their past seven games, by the way, we're focused on Jared Goff and Todd Gurley and everything going on over there. They've allowed just 14.4 points per game. Seems good.
Yeah.
Cardinals, not so much. They're operating at a major deficit. I mean, David Johnson is out. They're threatening to make Blaine Gabbert the franchise quarterback. The last thing that this team needs is for their special teams to be bad. And they are. They're actually worse than bad. On Sunday alone, the Rams blocked an extra point, a field goal, and had a 30-yard punt return. That was just Sunday.
Yes, just against the Rams. Yeah.
Again, when Blaine Gabbert is your starting quarterback and your stud running back is out, you might want to, you know, tell your guys, hey, step up, man. We really, really, really need you. The Seattle Seahawks coming off their big win against the Philadelphia Eagles. Russell Wilson is now 18-5 for his career in December with 46 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, and a 103.7 passer rating, the highest rating in the month of December since the 1970 merger. With 15 touchdowns this season in the fourth quarter, he's tied with Eli Manning, who had 15 touchdowns in the fourth quarter in the entire 2011 season. My guess, he's probably going to break that mark sometime very soon. The Seahawks, meanwhile, are 21-5 in December under Carroll, and they finish up with this schedule. At Jacksonville, the Rams, at the Cowboys, and then the Cardinals. That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough one. San Francisco 49ers offense was on the field for 38 minutes prior to the arrival of the Greek god known as Jimmy Garoppolo. The San Francisco 49ers were averaging 27 minutes of offense time on the field. 38, that's quite the improvement. Now, they were playing Chicago, and the Bears loaded up against the run to force Garoppolo to beat them. And he did, completing 26 of 37 attempts for 293 yards. I know no one's really excited over the five field goals, or at least San Francisco 49ers fans aren't excited about the five field goals, but the fact is you won at some point, probably this week. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be able to get that ball into the end zone. Overall, Jimmy G, San Francisco 49ers, week one of the experiment. I think it's a win.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
There you go. Those are all thoughts. Jay Ross and I will cover the AFC, the American Football Conference, and, of course, your Oakland Raiders tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Hey, what is going on with your boy Kevin Durant?
Him and the team in general, they've been feisty. Livingston got ejected the other day. Durant's the third time, and I think he had been ejected once in his career, but
twice
this season, or twice.
He had been ejected twice in his entire career. He's been ejected three times in 18 games this season.
Yeah, and they've been getting into many things this year. A lot of different players worried about a lot of different stuff. I don't know what's going on with the Warriors.
Kevin Durant now having words with. And now they've ejected Kevin Durant and Cousins. They both were going up and jawing at each other. And Kevin Durant's got ejected for the third time this year. Cousins really upset now. And now more harsher words are being spoken. And Durant being held back by Iguodala and Draymond and JT Orr. Cousins now escorted to the locker room. And the night's over. I don't know what started that. A simple foul. And then Durant and Cousins walked over and started jawing at each other. So KD is gone. Third time this year he has been tossed in his second of the road trip.
Well, with the benefit of repeated replays, I do know why he was tossed. He was tossed because DeMarcus threw kind of a lackluster fake headbutt towards him, and that pissed off Durant, who kind of – I'm not sure what DeMarcus was ejected for, to be honest. I don't know if he was ejected for what initiated the scuffle because – he didn't appear to be going at Kevin Durant. Durant appeared to be going at him. But he was, I think, in my opinion, he was the one who kind of instigated it. Durant reacted. And there you go.
And then Draymond kind of gets in late, and you know there's more talking there.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But what, seventh tech for DeMarcus, ejection for him, third ejection for Durant. It's weird. I don't miss that stuff, though, with DeMarcus at all.
There was even a referee suspended. That's on the text line.
Yeah, the
yes,
day before,
was.
Courtney, a couple games before.
Courtney Kirkland was suspended for going head-to-head with Sean Livingston, who, again, suspended. What? Yeah, I'll give you a quote here from Steve Kerr. The team's not composed. They haven't been composed in recent weeks. We're a championship team. We got to be poised. We got to execute out there. We're getting way too emotional. I don't want to glance past your comment about DeMarcus Cousins. You sure you don't miss it? It
was yes, 100%. Yep.
Number of people on Twitter last night didn't, well, not a number, some particular people on Twitter didn't miss it either.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way he's played. What's funny, the most amusing thing to me about the situation is if you read quotes after the game about the situation, even Alvin Gentry, and I'm going to paraphrase, but said something along the lines of, you know, DeMarcus is an emotional player. He needs to work on that. I'm like, cut and paste this and put this in year one, year two, year three. Year, I mean, we're at year eight. It wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen DeMarcus do. But
I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
Yeah, it is who he is. It really is.
He is who he thought he was.
Right.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, I don't know that if you threw DeMarcus out for instigating it, then, you know, fine, whatever. My bigger question is, what the hell is going on with Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
Like, why is Durant all of a sudden, like, thug life? Like, what is he doing? Like, why? That's this not him. Like, what are you doing, KD? I thought you were the nice guy in the league. He's really, I think he's embraced this villain persona that he was labeled with after leaving Oklahoma City. Now he's got beef with, like, I go back to the Oklahoma City game where he's clapping in Russell Westbrook's face and him and Westbrook are going head-to-head. Now, that was great. I love that.
Yeah.
As a wrestling fan, I'm cheering that on all day. Yesterday was a little bit more like, oh, uh-oh, this could get – oh, yeah. Oh. It's one of those things where you see and you go, okay, this could get out of hand. But before you could even get the this could get out of hand sentence out, it got out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
And the referees were like, yeah, dude, we're not dealing with this. We're out.
Yeah, and then you combine the actual game. I mean, the Warriors were down 20.
Yeah.
They came back. Curry rolls his ankle. That looked to be pretty significant, actually, too.
Well, that looked vicious, and he joked about it a little afterwards, but I don't know that there's anything to joke about.
I had to call my dad and tell him I can't play golf tomorrow in Charlotte.
That was actually the first thought.
No, I was playing.
It was his first thought after the injury he was telling reporters, and shocker, he's already been ruled out for tonight's game.
Yeah.
It looked like that was a gross one. That was one of those, oh, yikes.
And his ankles were a problem early. It hasn't been in a long time, but that was scary for him.
You a Warrior fan? You nervous?
Nah.
Sure?
Mm-hmm.
You just said ankles were...
It has been, but we'll see. I think they'll take longer, though, to make sure he gets back as best as possible.
One more clip from Steph Curry on how the injury happened.
Dumb play, because I tried to go for a steal, and obviously just a bang-bang. Got caught on Etwan's shoe as I went by him and couldn't catch myself.
That thing rolled up pretty viciously. Celtics roll. Kyrie and Giannis were great. The Wizards weren't. And Russia has been banned. Does anyone care? I'm genuinely curious. That's a real question. Does anyone care? We'll explain. We'll give you the full details, the whole story next on The Lowdown.
With me, I'm a self-made millionaire. Thug living out of prison, pistols in the air. Biggie, remember when I used to...
Hey, come on, man. No. We don't do that Tupac track. I don't like that one.
You don't?
No. Nah. I just don't like the... When you hear that song and you know the end result, that song's banned. We can't use that one. I don't like Hit 'Em Up. I literally can't listen to that song anymore. I feel it plays out differently than like No Vaseline does. Because I don't feel like no one died over No Vaseline.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like people die. I feel like both of them died over Hit 'Em Up. Like Hit 'Em Up was, you can look crazy at me. I feel like Hit 'Em Up was the impetus, but not the impetus, but that was a lot of gas to throw on an already, you know, large burning fire.
Yeah.
It's only Tupac's song that's banned. I'm not allowed to play that. I haven't listened to that song in years. I read something on ESPN yesterday. I wanted to share it with you. It just caught my attention. I was I turned off the Wizards, who lost by like 34 or 36 or something like that. Like, they were never in it. And I thought, well, let's find something else to watch, and was able to catch a little bit of Devin Booker going for 46. And he outplayed Ben Simmons last night, and the Suns beat the process. They beat the Philadelphia 76ers. But I came across this line in the ESPN write-up, and it caught my attention, and I wanted to share it with you and tell me if you agree or not. And, of course, you can jump in here at 44-1140. Phone line's available for you at 339-1140. Booker and Simmons, the number one overall pick in the 2016 draft, have positioned themselves as the future faces of the league. Booker was the one who left Monday's games all smiles. Devin Booker, future face of the league? That felt like a leap.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was before last season when LeBron really validated him, like someone who's under the radar, someone that you think is going to be a great player years to come. And he said Devin Booker, and I think a few other people agreed to that. And I went, all right. Of course, last year, that 70-point game at Boston. He's had some good games. But I think when you're, well, that's not true. I was going to say when you're a two guard, can you dominate anymore? But you can as a scorer. Because Kobe and MJ can do, but I feel like you need to kind of hit all the categories too.
You have to be like a 3-4-5 hybrid,
or
you have
even
to be
a 2, but like also has the ball and is a playmaker, I guess. But anyway, with all that, I think he is good, but like I don't think he'll be an all-star again this year. And so again, he's still very young. Maybe his time is coming, but I don't know that I'm ready to make that leap.
But future face of the league, that cut like that stopped me. I was like, whoa! I have never had that conversation with anybody. Devin Booker's. I remember having the conversation about Andrew Wiggins,
right?
Before he played, of course, because that's how you know you do things. You evaluate players before they actually play games. Jabari Parker was the same. They were all, you know, part of the top of that famous draft. I feel like I've had that conversation more about Joel Embiid than I have Ben Simmons. And I think a lot of that has to do with Joel Embiid's personality. I just wanted to bring that to your attention. It froze me. I was like, whoa, I'm going to jot this down and have a conversation.
Yeah, I just wanted to see, too. He's 21, right? So he's still very young. But just a reminder, Giannis turns 23 like this week.
Giannis is good.
He's only 20. I mean, if you said he's the next face of it, okay.
Giannis had 40, and that's the guy that we always talk about. He's next.
Mm-hmm.
He's the next guy.
He's kind of here.
It's hard to be, but he can't be the guy yet because LeBron's still here.
Right.
And it'll be, you know, once you know, LeBron starts to tail off, and KD and Steph,
that's,
I guess.
Still a ways away, though.
Yeah, but I think Giannis can overtake them. Like, I don't think he can overtake them now. He'd have to, if he can get the Bucks or whatever team he winds up playing for, assuming it's not with one of those guys, to a finals, then it's like, yeah, he's here.
Yeah, and I don't know what we define as, like, face of the league. Like, it feels like LeBron is, right?
Absolutely. There's no question about it.
But okay, we could. Here's like some good players in the league that I would not say. DeMarcus, Damian Lillard, great players, all stars. I don't think of them as the face of the league. Klay Thompson, great player.
Great.
Yes.
Great, Jason.
But you know what I mean? Like you can't.
I understand.
You can't have everybody be.
Is Antetokounmpo's ability to be the face of the league won his last name? And I'm not trying to be funny. Like
and
I
it
feel
helps
like
that
that's
people
a name
call him Giannis,
that, yeah,
honestly.
That most people or the Greek freak.
Yeah.
But is his biggest detriment the fact that he's in Milwaukee?
It hurts him, but I think in the end, if you can play.
Because you have to be truly dynamic to make Cleveland, Oklahoma City,
right,
or San Antonio. Like, we're talking very, very special. You mentioned Dame Lillard. Okay, Portland's a great place.
Yeah.
But.
And he's been good there for a long time, a short amount of time, I guess.
Does it fit?
Right.
Like, you know, can you. I feel you have to. There's great players, and then there's guys who have the ability to transcend the game.
Right.
Steph could. KD could. You can get mad at me if you want. Russell can.
Yeah.
LeBron obviously does.
Giannis has to start winning some playoff series.
We need to know more about him also.
Yeah.
We need to know, like, about him off the court. We know about all those other guys off the court.
Right.
We need to know about Giannis off the court. Same with Kristaps Porzingis.
Mm-hmm.
He's in New York. Well, we need to know more. It needs to be more than just you're in New York. Like, what are you about? What do you stand for? What do you like?
Are you funny?
Are you serious? Yeah, anything.
You sing. I mean, any little, you know, gimmicks stuff.
We know Giannis will go after an assistant coach in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that before. That's been documented this year. Giannis, as we mentioned, had 40 last night. Kyrie had 32, 19 in the second half. But most importantly, for him at least, the Celtics got the dub. They are 21-4.
Man.
I actually thought they had lost a few more games than that. I forgot they had that long stretch, and then they lost it. I thought they had maybe lost three or four since then. But
didn't they go – they lost the first two, and then I think they lost two again. So I think it's
did they lose
long
two in a
streak,
row?
I think, unless it was two out of three. But
I think it was two out of three.
Okay.
But it could have been – I mean,
yeah.
Semantics, whatever. But the fact is they're 21 and freaking four.
Yeah. And just solid all the way through. Good defensively, good offensively. A lot of young players in that roster they're counting on, but they have performed well.
I feel like we've referenced Ken, or a version of Ken, or maybe this is a different Ken. But Ken, what's happening, my man?
Different Ken. So you guys are talking the face of the league, and I heard you throw out Westbrook, but I would think after LeBron, it would be Harden and Westbrook would be the face of the league, along with Durant and Curry.
You know what, Harden, I can't believe we didn't mention Harden. Yeah. It's probably, if we had to rank LeBron, maybe Harden, then Curry, or I don't know how it would go after LeBron. I know LeBron is first, and I feel like Harden's personality, the beard, everything, that might put him at two.
I don't know. If the Warriors keep winning championships, it's the guys from the
bench. But is it Steph or KD, or is
together,
it both of them?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
To me.
Well, with Kevin Durant, I mean, we would have considered him for MVP if he hadn't gotten hurt last year. So
I agree.
It'd be interesting to see if he goes through a whole year, if we would consider him above Steph.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. And now it looks like Steph's going to miss a little time. Ken, we appreciate you, man. Thank you for listening, and thank you so much for the call. Have a fantastic Tuesday here. We'll come back. We'll step out. We'll kind of reset everything, get you caught up on all of the news today. Florida State has their coach. Suspensions have been laid down in the NFL. We don't agree with them. And we've got winners and losers of Week 13 coming up next. Oh, also, WWE Live, Road to WrestleMania. We've got those tickets for you in 5 minutes.